Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Thank you. Hello. My name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away once more, it is my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners in this country and throughout the world, but also to welcome to the show four exciting, talented, skillful, and extrovert players of the game who come together to show their wit, their humour, their verbal dexterity and ingenuity as they try and speak on the subject that I give them, and they try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. And those four intelligent people are seated on my right, Paul Merton and Clement Freud, and seated on my left, Kit Hesketh-Harvey and Linda Smith. Please welcome all four of them. Beside me sits Janet Staplehurst. She's going to help me keep the score, and she's going to blow her whistle with alacrity when the 60 seconds have transpired. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the amazing Bijou Art Deco Cinema in that delightful Art Deco town of Berkhamsted. That's got 50% of people on my side and 50% the other way in the county of Hertfordshire. They've come to enjoy Just a Minute, so let's get the show moving with Clement Freud to take the first round. Clement, the subject here in front of me is my favourite book. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
Talking about my favourite book is a bit like speaking of my favourite meal, in that when you have had it, you don't want that again, you prefer something else. My favourite book was certainly when I did Desert Island Discs, and I was told I could pick a book, but it must not be the Bible or Shakespeare, which are there already. And it occurred to me that the book, which some people pronounce Bibble, is one that I wouldn't particularly want on an oceanic strip of land. What I'd prefer...
Paul Challenge.
Nobody pronounces it as Bibble.
I do.
I would agree with you, Paul. I mean, nobody actually correctly pronounces
any
it as Bibble.
Any sane person would, wouldn't they?
If he established it, said they incorrectly pronounce it as Bibble...
Then it'd be
then
a different thing, wouldn't it?
I would have accepted it.
Yes, of course you would have done.
And so you get a point for that, of course, and you have the subject of my favourite book and 25 seconds available starting now.
I suppose it would be The Adventures of Sherlock Holmes. I've read and reread it many times over the years, written by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, and I suppose that...
Kit Challenge.
I'm sorry, the two supposes there.
Yes.
Did I not start with a course?
No, it was a suppose.
Kit,
yes.
You have a point for a correct challenge.
Thank you.
You have the subject of my favourite book. There are 17 seconds starting now.
I suppose, of course, my favourite book is the one propping up the corner of my bed. I tried War and Peace and rolled towards the middle, and then I did the wit and charm of Dr. John Reed and found myself catapulted regularly into the middle of the floor of that said room.
Linda, you got in first.
Yes, two middles.
That's right. Mm. And you have the correct subject, you have a point, and so we're going to hear from everybody on the first round, which is lovely. 4 seconds for you, Linda, starting now.
My favourite book is probably Jane Eyre. What a delightful tome that is!
In this game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point, and it was on this occasion Linda Smith, so she is in the lead at the end of the first round. And Linda, we'd like you to take the next round. The subject is the tortoise. The tortoise. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
The tortoise is one of my favourite creatures. I so like that animal that one of them appeared in my radio series. He was called Sir Cliff, partly because he was ageless and partly because he had no musical ability whatsoever.
Yes, Paul.
Repetition of partly.
Partly, yes. There were two partlies.
No, bang to right.
No, right. A point to you, Paul. The subject as well, the tortoise, and 47 seconds starting now.
My favourite sitcom of the last 20 years is undoubtedly One Foot in the Grave. I absolutely love that show, and it starts off with a tortoise walking across a little...
Linda Challenge.
That was my tortoise.
Was it?
Yeah.
The same
tortoise?
They picked
him out of spotlight, out of all the other tortoises. There was just something about the angle of his chin. Mm. I don't know.
So have you got a challenge the rules of justice? Is this just a bit of memorabilia?
No, just showbiz memorabilia, really.
Yes.
Just an anecdote.
How could you tell the tortoise was on radio?
Sorry?
They don't make any noise, do they?
Yes, they do.
They make an awful noise.
They make a...
Well, if you drop them out of a plane, they do. Onto a tin of beans or something.
You sat at night in the quiet of the Mediterranean island somewhere.
Yes.
And you suddenly, there's a hush there, and you hear a tortoise moving from the undergrowth. It's quite an eerie sound.
Is it? Well,
that's
do an impression
the undergrowth.
I think he just did.
Yeah. Yeah. They go. It sounds like this.
It's louder than that.
Well, yes, I'm working with the tools I've got here.
But let's clear the sentence. It's the undergrowth that's making the noise, not the tortoise.
The tortoise is making the noise on the undergrowth.
And also, another thing they do, they make a noise in their mouth, they sort of go... Mm.
They do, actually, yes, they do. Fascinating creatures.
They never bloody shut up.
No, they don't.
That's why I had to get rid of it, the noise. It's driving me mad.
And to see them make love is an experience.
I'm surprised you got the time.
Yes.
Pick up any tips, did you?
Time was the factor, yes. I think we should move on. Paul, you have a correct challenge, and you have 38 seconds on the tortoise, starting now.
I regularly buy a magazine called Tortoise Weekly, just for the front page centrefold in the middle. Oh, it's gorgeous. Little Miss Tortoise rolling back my shell right off.
Kit challenge.
Can you get a front page centrefold in the middle?
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Oh, fine, I'm just checking.
No, you're quite right. It's the centrefold's in the centre,
yes,
the front page.
Yeah, but that's just a mere detail.
Not if you're a tortoise, is it?
No, Kit, you have a correct challenge. It can't be a front piece and a centrefold. It could be on both, but it wasn't. He put the two together. Yeah. So you have 30 seconds on the tortoise, Kit, starting now.
I think they're one of the oldest creatures on Earth, are they not? They emerged from the primeval slime when there was oozy fog and Nicholas Parsons...
I don't know why you applaud, but Paul, you challenged.
I was about to do the same joke.
Anybody else want to do the same joke? Oh, I put myself up for it, don't I? But, Paul, all right, so we'll give you a bonus point because they enjoyed your interruption, but you get a point, Kit, for being interrupted.
And could I have a point? Because I was going to make the same joke.
Well, if Clement's having a point, I want a point.
Kit, you have the subject. You have 23 seconds. The tortoise starting now.
The Romans had a battle formation called the tortoise, whereby they huddled together and put their shields all around them, emulating the shell of the tortoise, and foxed everybody because nobody knew how to pronounce tortoise, whether it was tortoise, to rhyme with porpoise, or not. And they won...
Hesitation, sir.
It was, yes. Sorry, yes. You suddenly realised it didn't rhyme with it, didn't you? I thought that was lovely, Kit. Right. Paul, a correct challenge. 5 seconds. The tortoise starting now.
When I was a boy, 5 years old, I had a tortoise which I named Jimmy Greaves. Not much of an insult.
Yes, especially when you consider how fast Jimmy Greaves would have moved in and out of the field. Right. Paul, you were speaking as a whistle wind. You gained that extra point, and you got a strong lead at the end of the round. Kit Hesketh-Harvey,
yes.
Your turn to begin. And the subject is boot camp. Tell us something about boot camp. I don't know if you've got any personal experiences, but we'd love to hear from you on the subject, starting now.
I suspect the first ever to indulge in boot camp was Beau Brummel, who had adorned his footwear with tassels and furbelows and all sorts of unnecessary nonsense, whereby he beguiled George IV when he was Prince of Wales. Aubrey Beardsley in the 1890s in the Yellow Book illustrated a lot of very camp boots with high heels like Manolo Blahnik, the sort of thing that Susie Quattro used to wear in the 1970s. And excite us all with her rock chick aggression. And nowadays, I suppose, the fa ba ba ja ba ba.
Oh, Linda, you challenge it.
Little bit of hesitation.
Yeah, it was the I suppose again, wasn't it?
It's
becoming
it?
Infectious on this show, isn't it? Linda, you have 30 seconds. Tell us something about boot camp starting now.
Boot camp is somewhere that nasty little children, driven mad with turkey twizzlers, are sent to find the error of their ways. Out they go to the wilds of Cumbria or some wilderness like that. They are given all kinds of tasks to do, mostly menial and repetitive. These children do not...
challenge.
I'm sorry, children again.
There were more children then,
naughty,
yes.
Ah,
oh, right.
Yes.
Sorry. People said, because they were just enjoying it in a Daily Mail sort of way.
No.
Yes. And I think like that in Birkenstock.
And I think the people...
Too good for them, that's yes. What it is, boot camp.
Right. And I think the people of Cumbria are already writing the letters.
Well, it's
seconds.
A wilderness, technically.
Yeah. They'll have to walk a long way to post them, won't they?
It's a wonderful, beautiful county, and I won't have a word said against it. 7 seconds for you, Kit, on boot camp, starting now.
Lee Bowery, I don't think, ever went to Cumbria. I wish he had, because he could see the raw beauty of that majestic landscape as he wore his green...
Linda Challenge.
A bit of deviation?
No.
Lee Bowery?
No, he wore very camp boots.
Yes, he did.
Mm. But that didn't come into your discourse.
It was about to, but you interrupted.
But how many seconds had we gone?
Nick will now tell
seconds,
you.
Yes.
6 out of 7? That's quite a long time to get to the meat of the subject, isn't it?
I think the very word Lee Bowery, in view of what I'd said earlier, probably gave you my thrust.
On this occasion, Linda, I will give him the benefit of the doubt.
Very
and
nice.
I will find a way to address it if I possibly can later on.
Thank
so
you
have
so
another point.
I look forward to that.
Yes. Well, I'll address it in the dressing room afterwards if you like. You have... another point, of course, Kit, and 1 second on boot camp starting now.
How I adore Keswick.
Kim, Linda's challenge.
Hesitation.
No, of course.
Not hesitation, I mean deviation.
Why?
Because still no mention. He had that second left, still no mention of boot camp.
Well, I'll give Linda a bonus point on this. Linda's got a bonus point for interruptions. Kit, you got a point because you were interrupted. Boot camp, 1/2 second starting now.
Cumbria is...
Paul, it's your turn to begin, and we'd like you to talk on the subject of the arrival of the talkies. What a lovely subject, in the Rex cinema. Tell us something about it, starting now.
1927 is generally considered the year that the talkies arrived. The Singing Fool, starring Al Jolson, was a massive hit. Not particularly because of his singing, but he...
Clement Charles.
Repetition of singing.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes, that's right, yes. So, Clement, we're going to hear from you on the arrival of the talkies, and there are 50 seconds available starting now.
When I went to school in Devon as a young boy aged 8, there was a cinema in Newport Pagnell. I meant to say Newton Abbott, but there we go. And they took tour parties, buses and coaches and limousines from Paignton and Torquay, Totnes and Dartmouth. But the most important was when the talkies came. That was the big occasion. The vehicle bringing those nice people from that pretty Devonshire holiday centre would rush out of the mobiles in which they were taken, rub their hands with glee, and pay threepence, or sometimes sixpennies, for entrance, which was then the norm for going...
He started with the subject and he finished with the subject and kept going without being interrupted, even though some of us didn't know what he was talking about half the time. For the full 60 seconds, he gets a point for speaking when the whistle went and a bonus point for not being interrupted. So, Clement, you're on the trail of the others. And it's also your turn to begin. The subject is Proverbs. I'm sure you can tell us something about that, but do so in 60 seconds if you can, starting now.
I don't have much time or affection for proverbs. Things like red sky at night, shepherd's delight, pink cloud in the morning, goat herd's warning, or whatever. If at first you don't succeed, give up is a proverb which I'm quite keen on. Tommy Docherty, a football manager, made up many proverbs like...
Well, maybe that was the proverb, but I suspect it was hesitation.
It was hesitation, because it didn't come back.
Can I tell you what he did make?
Okay, tell us, Clement, please.
Do unto others and run like hell.
Well, it's a pity it didn't come back quicker, Clement, but thank you very much for sharing it with us.
A friend in need is a pain in the arse.
Oh, well.
You might get back in again. Save it. Right. Kit, you've got 38 seconds. Tell us something about Proverbs, starting now.
A rolling stone gathers no moss is true because Kate has already been elaborately gathered by the libertines, Pete Doherty. Another completely cryptic proverb is all my eye and Betty Martin. I gather it derives from a soldier's cry, oh mihi, Beata Martin, which...
Paul Challenge.
Well, it's repetition of O.
When? But when?
But what was the proverb first?
Was it all my eye?
Oh, sorry.
All my eye and Betty Martin.
Oh, sorry, so it wasn't two O's.
So, Kit, you have an interruption, as we call it, therefore an incorrect challenge. You have another point. You have 19 seconds. You have proverbs starting now.
After a while, they all begin to jumble together in a ghastly, nightmarish melee. It's difficult to make a silk purse out of a queer fish, for example. And who would want to do so? Because it can only lead to tragedy. Red sky. Sky at night, shepherd's delight. Am I allowed to repeat what Clement has already said within the rules of just a minute?
Clement Challenge.
Yes, yes, you are.
Give Clement a bonus point, and you were interrupted again, Kit. Another point, and 1 second on proverbs starting now.
A pig in a poke.
Time that you were allotted, Kit, you did give us quite a few proverbs there. Well done. And you have leapt forward. You are in a strong lead. 5 points ahead, actually, of Paul Merton, and a few more other than Linda Smith and Clement Freud are in third place equal. And, Kit, it's your turn to begin. And the subject now is posh. Tell us something about posh in this game, starting now.
My favourite posh joke goes this wise, that the captain of the England football team was parrying questions from a journalist and saying, they're small and white, that's why I love them, they keep my breath fresh for all of 2 hours, at which point his wife nudged him and said, he's asking you about tactics, David. The great thing about posh is that she comes from this beautiful county of Hertfordshire where Berkhamsted nestles. She's probably just over the hill in more senses than one, but Beckingham Palace is down the road, and her name derives from an eponymous acronym, Port Out Starboard Home, from the Peninsula and Oriental Steamship Line, when one went out on that left-hand side and returned on the right so as to avoid the belting heat of the southern sun. Lionel Jeffries, in a marvellous musical film about a flying car, which I cannot say on this programme within the rules of Just a Minute, the title of, sang Posh, the Travelling Life for Me, because he was referring to those excellent days. Hey!
So, Kit, another mini triumph, keeping going to the whistle end. Gain that extra point. You've increased your lead at the end of the round. And, Paul, it's your turn to begin. The subject now is clowning around. A lot of what we do in this show, but talk on the subject. 60 seconds, starting now.
One school report I had at Wimbledon College at the age of about 14 said, Paul will never get anywhere as long as he remains the class comedian. But here I am in Berkhamsted, so he was wrong. What a wonderful thing it is to be able to clown around, to lift a mood. We shouldn't be glum. Why be serious when we can have laughter and fun and gaiety? Dress up as your next door neighbour and let him dress up as you.
Kit, your buzzer went first.
Was it me? Sorry, it was two dress-ups, I'm
two
so dress-ups. Sorry.
Yeah. Two dress-ups, yes. So you got in first, Kit, and you got 38 seconds, clowning around, starting now.
Children quite frequently burst into floods of tears, don't you, my little darlings in the front row here in Berkhamsted, when they see clowns, and this is interesting because...
Clement Challenge.
Creep.
Yes, I should explain to my listeners there's two very charming and enchanting small children sitting in the front row here, and that's what Kit was referring to. But what was your challenge within the rules of Just a Minute?
He's a creep.
Well, everybody can creep in any way they like in Just a Minute to get their points, but Clement, we give
you... You're often creeping after tortoises, aren't you?
Yes, I know, yes. It's the speed at which they move. It's the creeping, right. Yeah. And
a tortoise warrior.
Yeah.
No, that's right.
A tortoise stalker.
Yes. Clement, we'll give you a bonus point because the audience enjoyed your interjection. But Kit was interrupted, he gets a point, he has clowning around, he has 30 seconds starting now.
Historically speaking, the costume of the clown with his weird little eyes and his big mouth and his white face derives from the devil in old mumming plays, which is perhaps why...
Linda Challenge.
You're frightening those children now.
Have you got a challenge in the Just a Minute, Linda?
No, just in the laws of decency.
Yeah.
decency. Yeah. I don't think.
Frightening children. Is right. is this what we pay our licence fee for?
Another interruption. Give Linda her bonus point. And 20 seconds with you, Kit, clowning around, starting now.
There was a famous clown called Grimaldi, who, despite his exotically Italian surname, actually came from London and got to the very pinnacle of his profession. Another one called Grock, who was Swiss, I believe, and they together enchanted 19th-century audiences. Today, clowning around is left to just...
Paul Challenge.
I think Grock was 20th century, wasn't he?
Was he really? Mm. I was talking absolutely through my posterior, so I didn't know what
he was. You were quite right, he was.
Yeah. All the way through. Was he born in the 19th century even?
He did perform in the 19th century, didn't he, Grock?
So
he was certainly born in the 19th century.
Yeah. Yes.
Yep.
But he was
perhaps
clowning
he was an
around
effusive 2-year-old.
Century,
who
yes.
knows?
He actually went over into the 20th century.
Did he?
I don't think technically. So what was your challenge?
Like you, rather.
Yes, that's right. But I've worn a bit better than Grock.
I must say, I can't imagine that as a night out, sort of saying to, oh, let's go down the Rex. There's a Swiss clown on.
He was brilliant.
Yeah, he was very funny, Grock.
Oh, yes, he was very funny.
There's a quick story. Have we got time for this? Yeah.
Yes.
A man goes to see a psychiatrist and he says, I'm very depressed, nothing seems to amuse me. And the man says, I've got exactly the cure for you. Go and see Grock. Grock is playing at the circus in the town tonight. And the man says, I am Grock.
I must say, have you not heard? I've heard that same story, only with Grimaldi as the person.
Yes. Maybe they were nicking each other's acts.
I think they were.
That's probably
right. I don't know where we were. I think that...
Burkhamsted.
We were, but you see, technically you were correct about the... He was working, sorry, in the 20th century, but he was also working in the 19th century. So also you were...
Do you know that for a fact, Nicholas?
Yes. And,
Fantastic German.
Yeah, yeah.
I will give you the benefit of the doubt and say we have another point.
There will be letters if he's wrong, of course.
Now.
Sorry, the best.
Poor chance.
That was hesitation.
It was hesitation. Crept up on me, Nicholas, in your way.
I'm sorry. Okay, so half a second.
Now you know how those tortoises.
Clowning around, starting now.
This man goes to.
So, we're moving into the final round. I thought it was worth more than that, actually. There we are. So, we have only time. I'll give you the scores and go into the final round. Kit Hesketh-Harvey is doing extraordinarily well. He's in the lead. A lot of points. He's only 5 points ahead of Paul Merton. And Clement Freud and Linda Smith are equal in third place, training just a little, but they've both said an awful lot. Clement has said less, so he begins the next round. And the subject, Clement, is Tarzan. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
There are a number of good reasons why I was never cast as Tarzan. Firstly, I'm not an actor, and secondly, my age was against it. I'm pretty good jumping from one tree to another, but much of the foreplay with animals...
I can't think the right word is foreplay, surely.
What's your challenge?
Well, foreplay of animals.
No, I think a human. I'm sorry. No. The mind boggles.
I don't know what you're going to. You stalk tortoises, don't you?
Yes, I do. I've never had a foreplay with a tortoise. I mean, really. Tarzan is with you, Paul, with 42 seconds available, starting now.
Clement once said to me he'd had sex with a giraffe. I said, who put you up to it? He said, well, I had a stepladder, actually. What I did was. I saw a marvellous film starring Freud sitting next to me.
Linda Challenge.
Couldn't say Clement
again. A little bit of hesitation.
Right. Tarzan's with you now, Linda. 30 seconds available starting now.
My favourite breakfast.
Well, it's just a
I know, she was getting carried away with the foreplay and she just got tripped up there. 27 seconds on Tarzan with you, Paul, starting now.
Swinging through the jungle with that distinctive beard and the cry, and everybody looked up and said, who is that
Kit's challenge.
A distinctive beard.
Yes. Jim Floyd was Tarzan.
Yeah. I'm so sorry. I thought you were talking about Tarzan. I thought that was a subject on the card. I think wrote Clement Freud.
We had the image because Clement had established it for us.
Yeah, I was trying to banish it from the listener's mind.
I know, but it was good that he got off foreplay for there was a minute. Right. 23 seconds with you, Paul Tarzan, starting now.
Wearing a loincloth, chasing a sexually aroused marmoset. Oh, it was an extraordinary. It was shown here, in fact, in 1938. Well, you were here, weren't you? You signed autographs, didn't you?
Deviation.
Yes. So, but yes, because he was going off and talking to you and talking about you and not Tarzan. So Tarzan is back with you, Clement, and we're listening with trepidation.
Yeah.
14 seconds starting now.
Me, not Tarzan. He, Jane.
Is that what you said?
That's.
And that was your audition, was it? No, no way, didn't get the part.
That's exactly right.
Well, it's something to put on your tombstone, isn't it? Hesitation.
Hesitation is right for you, but Clement was playing for a laugh. I'll be generous and give him a bonus point for that. And 11 seconds for you on Tarzan, Paul, starting now.
Ron Ely was the Tarzan I remember from the 1970s, but of course Edgar Rice Burroughs...
Clement challenged.
He said, of course, again.
No, not in this round.
No. Usually good for a point.
Good for a point. All right, give him another bonus point, but Paul gets a point for his interrupted. 5 seconds, Tarzan, with you, Paul, starting now.
The first Tarzan to appear on camera was Elmo Lincoln, a very big...
So Paul Merton will speak as a whistle when gained that extra point, and he has leapt forward, and I will now give you the final situation. Linda Smith, who does so blazingly well, and she spoke an awful lot today, and she did extraordinarily well, but she did actually finish in fourth place, because she didn't get many points, but she contributed greatly. I know, we all feel the same, but...
But we've got to struggle through.
No. The talent was shining, but the points were a little low. Right. Clement Freud, who usually does pretty well, came in third place, and he's got quite a few points. Kit Hesketh-Harvey was in the lead all the way through to that last amazing round. So I feel very sad to have to tell him that we just pipped at the post, which is very sad, because you got 18 points, which is an awful lot. Usually people win with 18 points, Kit. So I think we'll give you a round of applause for coming there. Sir Paul Merton's with his hysterical references to Tarzan and all the other animals brought him into the lead, so we say the actual winner this week is Paul Merton. Round of applause. It only remains for me to say thank you to these four delightful players of the game, Paul Merton, Linda Smith, Kit Hesketh-Harvey and Clement Freud. I thank Janet Staplehurst, who sat beside me so patiently, never says a word, blows her whistle charmingly and helps me with the score. We also thank our producer, who is Claire Jones. We are indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game, and we are very grateful to this lovely audience in the charming little Rex Cinema in the delightful town of Berkhamsted in Hertfordshire, who've cheered us on our way. From our audience, from me, from Nicholas Parsons, and the rest of the panel, goodbye. Tune in the next time we play.